Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well. Yesterday was a blast. I want to hit the KSU Commons dining area like 3 days a week. That was fantastic.
Yeah, man. That college food has changed since I was at college.
We got to give a shout-out to those guys with the Executive MBA program out at Kennesaw, Alvin Miles, who runs that thing. But we met a lot of very interesting people, including the guy that is under the wing of the FUBU guy, the Shark Tank guy.
Right.
Is it Damon Jones.
Damon John. John.
Yeah. Right. So, but it was great to meet him. We met the guy with the India-China-America thing. Right. We met the guy with the nonprofit that does the soap.
Global Soap Project.
That was awesome. So, thank you guys. That was a blast. Don Lang with the talent. He's doing something in the
talent effects.
But he's also like a professor out there.
Right.
So they put real people in real jobs that have actually been there, done that. Seasoned professionals in the classroom with these folks. So, and I think that's probably why their executive MBA program is so well rated and so well highly thought of.
That's right. And it was Philip Boykin is the guy from Shark Branding that invited you to that big event.
That's invitation only. You're not even supposed
to tell
people on the air.
I'm sorry about that.
But I'm going, and I'm going to come back with like a FUBU hat or a Shark
Tank
shirt.
That's right, a Shark Tank special viewing party.
But the highlight for me was the red velvet cake, and it's all you can eat when you get there.
I like the free espresso bar.
I know. I'm still wired from that, right?
That was good stuff.
But nothing compared to today's show. This is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to hear from the VP of Communication for the Greater Atlanta Chapter of ASTD, Sarah Gilbert. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman who is no stranger to the studio. We had this guy in our Buckhead studio almost a year ago, Lee, and he's got it going on when it comes to this business of social media. He's with Social Brand U. Welcome back to the program, Adam Korwoski.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Stone.
We are delighted to have you, man. So what's happened in the last year or so in social media? I suspect a couple of things have happened since then.
Social media has changed a little bit. Our business has changed a little bit. We're having a blast and looking forward to sharing a little bit about what's going on in social media and our business today here.
So are people still using social media, or is that fad kind of past?
We're done.
Now we're back to the old school newspapers,
right.
Carrier pigeons, you know, that kind of stuff.
You know, meeting with clients and customers, we spend a good portion of our time up front talking, kind of dispelling the myth, right, that social media is just a fad, that it's just for teenagers, that businesses, especially those businesses with a B2B sales model, aren't using social media. So we do spend a good amount of time talking about that, and when we illustrate, give some examples, some case studies, and other customers, and even some of their competition, it kind of wows them a little bit. It takes them by surprise.
Well, I bet it does. What exactly is the void you're filling, the problem you're solving for the organizations you're working with?
A lot of companies know social media is big. They have to be on it, but there's no plan. There's no strategy. A lot of times they think they can get on social media and just start selling a product or selling a service. And it's really more than that. You know, social media, it's social. It's an engaging conversation with your audience. And those conversations build relationships. Those relationships are what build trust, and that trust builds your business. And a lot of people that get on social media, they're on all the different social network sites. There's no quote-unquote home base. Right, they haven't decided, are they going to drive customers to their website? Do they want to drive customers to a particular social network? There's no strategy in place. They don't understand how do you define success?
Aren't these people used to using media kind of as a plug and play? Like, I'm going to buy TV commercials, or I'm going to run ads in a trade magazine. You know, where they didn't have to, they made one decision and then they were done, and then somebody else made the, three TV commercials that aired over 6 months, and they were, they were pretty much done. And social media is more, there's more care and feeding with social media.
There is, exactly. And generally speaking, their marketing efforts have been a monologue targeted to a specific demographic. So now, they're learning how to have that conversation, how to tell their story. Stories are compelling. They draw people in. How can you tell your story about your company, your industry, your customers? How can you convey your passion for what you do? Because that's really what's those companies who can convey their passion about an industry or their company or their customers are the most successful in social media.
Now, I see in your branding, you have gone to great lengths to give it kind of this collegiate look and feel, this university flavor. How does that play out in the actual engagement? Is there a large educational thought leadership component to what you do after, or maybe even before I write you a check to help me and my company with this kind of thing?
Sure. It's ongoing. It's before, during, and after the process. And I thought the educational process...
Is there any hazing?
No hazing.
No hazing.
No hazing. Nothing I can speak of, anyway. So, I thought the university theme applied because, as we've seen with social media, it changes. You have Pinterest. You have Google+. There's new networks that come and go. Social network really started out with MySpace. So it's constantly evolving. So I think the educational theme is we're constantly learning new ways, new approaches, new ways to communicate. And I thought that was appropriate for this particular industry, not to mention that I'm a Florida State Seminole, so you'll notice in the logo and the color schemes, I'm kind of prejudiced in that regard.
Not so subtle, actually. I was born and raised in the Panhandle, so I saw that
you picked
very
up
quickly.
On that.
So when you initially begin to talk with someone, maybe even before they write you that check and you're actually engaged in a lot of substantive work, I got to believe you start to see some patterns. You hear questions, you see behaviors. And maybe you have enough social grace not to do it overtly, but you roll your eyes and you go, here we go again. They're doing that again. What are some of those patterns, some of those major mistakes or faux pas that you see over and over again?
I think the myths, dispelling some of the myths right up front, social media is a different paradigm. You have to think about it differently. One of the biggest obstacles we come in contact with is, okay, what's our ROI? We're going to start this today. Let's flip a switch. How much revenue can we generate from a certain social network selling product A, B, or C?
Right. So how do you kind of handle that? You tell them a number?
It's an educational process, trust me.
You don't say like 70% ROI.
No, here's the analogy I use. What is the ROI on your mother? Okay.
You got my attention. Okay. I'm not writing you a check yet, but you got my attention.
See? It makes you think a little bit different. It's not a traditional ROI model, is it?
Right.
But you know it's significant. It's played a huge role. And that kind of, just like it did with you, it gives everyone pause and think about it a little bit.
What do the CFOs say to that?
It takes a while for them to change their paradigm. But overall, what we found is you can measure the success of social media. You can measure engagement, activity. You can use certain tools that are available to kind of measure the sentiment. But at the end of the day, this is about telling a story. This is about engaging in a conversation with your audience.
Do you have any research that correlates engagement and this kind of communications with actual sales, with actual money being spent? Because the bottom line is everything, to me this sounds a lot like branding. Like, you can't have an ROI on branding. Like one billboard that has a Nike swish on it, you don't know that moved one person to buy a shoe. So it's kind of a softer thing. So at some point it has to connect to sales. Is there any kind of research that connects the two?
There is. There's numerous case studies, and there's also lots of success stories where companies have used social media to turn a sour experience that a customer might have had into a positive one. And you see a lot of that right in front of you in real time on a Facebook page or on Twitter, where companies like Comcast have done an excellent job from a care perspective, from a customer service perspective, changing the perception of their company and solving problems that the customers have, so that those customers now are evangelistic. That's the goal. You want customers to be evangelistic about their experience with your company, your organization, your people. And you're right, social media, a lot of this is branding. You're building a brand. What does your brand say about you? How are you perceived online? You either have a good perception, a bad perception, or there's no perception at all of you or your company online. So we try and take the people behind the logos, inside the company, make them real, and build a brand, define their brand online in a way that is compelling.
So aren't you a little bit vulnerable, though, once you make the decision to go out on some of these platforms, the Twitter, the Facebook? Now things are much more transparent, and that guy that got mad yesterday in the store, he might say something, so I am a little more vulnerable, right? Or is it not my decision anyway, and I'm out there in some fashion, whether I like it or not?
No, there's certainly some truth to that. But more often than not, it's a great opportunity. And if you look at the entire experience from all of your customers, I think the overwhelming majority would say they've experienced a positive, had a positive experience with your company or organization. You can take those opportunities and turn them into something golden. That's not to say there isn't some risk. There is some risk. But, you know, it kind of forces everybody to do their best. It forces everybody to put their best foot forward and really be genuine, be sincere, and want to help.
Well, I would imagine these larger companies that engage in social media and are concerned about those issues, even if they choose not to engage in social media themselves, those issues are still going to happen, and they're not going to have a say in the conversation.
Absolutely. They still are going to happen. And some companies can choose to put their head in the sand and say, I'm not going to participate, and there's too big a risk here. And what does that say about your company? What does that say about your culture or your leadership?
Right.
You know, that says something anyway. So social media is a great opportunity to define how you are perceived.
Now, do some platforms lend themselves more to certain types of organizations or certain industries? Like, is Facebook better for a radio network and Twitter's better for an orange juice company, that kind of thing?
Sure. It depends on the company and the industry and who the client is, what your target audience is. If you're, let's say, a car dealership, well, a lot of your customers are on Facebook, talking about the vehicle they bought, the experience they had. So Facebook might be a more appropriate social network for them to get engaged on. But maybe you're a company that has a B2B sales model and you're selling to other companies. Maybe most of your target customers are CMOs or CFOs and they're on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn might be a better platform for you to engage with those customers. So it's a little bit different. It goes back to what I said earlier. What does success look like? How do you define success? What's your target audience? Where are they on the web? And based on where they are, then you can engage with them where they are. It might be one social network, might be two or three. But
do you recommend kind of going deep on one or two rather than going shallow on six or seven?
In some cases, absolutely. Every case is a little bit different, I will say. So I have some companies that are across the board. They're using the big four, which is Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And that's worked really well. I have some clients that are just working on Twitter. They enjoy that. Their target audience is there. They get the most response from Twitter, the most loyalty from there. So it's a little bit different for everybody, for every company. But
my wife just discovered Twitter, literally, like in the last couple of weeks. When I say discovered, she's heard me talk about it a little bit, but she's actually doing it now. But I think she is under the impression at the moment that she has this direct relationship with Mike and Mike. I think she thinks they're like real friends and they're going to go have a beer, you know, any day now, as soon as
sure.
her schedule frees
sure.
up a little bit. But she's very enamored with it, and it's fun watching her eyes light up. She's really enjoying that that engagement. So I want to ask you, what's the affiliation, the relationship, the intent with ASTD? What's the connection there?
Well, we wanted to work with ASTD and just share a little bit about how they can leverage social media to do a couple things. One, help build their brand online. Two, how can they build value for their customer? And ultimately, as it is with every company, how can they build growth for their company? What does that look like?
And so, I mean, they have a very large chapter, right? A huge membership.
Absolutely.
This is like a jumbo chapter. Can you walk us through some of the ways that you're using social media? And we're going to ask in just a moment, we're going to ask Sarah Gilbert, who's VP of Communication over there, to chime in the conversation as well. But give us, from your perspective, some of the things that they're doing.
Well, I think I'm going to let Sarah speak to that specifically because
okay,
she can talk about it more intelligently than I could. We're in the beginning stages of working with them, so
perfect.
I think she can talk to that specifically.
Excellent. So let's leave your mic open. You'll stay in the conversation with us, right?
Would love to. Thanks.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we do that, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you if they want to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you on some of these topics.
Absolutely. They can reach us on our website, which is www.socialbrandu.net. We also have a blog at Social Brand U and a Facebook page, but getting to our website is the best way to get in touch with us. I am on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is Adam Karwoski. It's ADAMKARWO, SKI. It's I'm the only Polak down here in in the Alpharetta area, but makes it easy for my branding efforts.
Well, it's encouraging that you're actually on some of these platforms and using them yourself. I can't tell you how frustrating it has been to go to a cocktail party and someone tell me they're an SEO expert, and then I go try to find them on Google and they're nowhere to be found. Or like they're on page 13 or whatever.
Right.
So that's good. Well, thanks for. Please do continue to join us in the conversation, Sarah. Welcome to the show, VP of Communication for ASTD. And I also want to ask you a little bit about your own practice, because you have a practice around mobile learning, right?
Yes, so exactly.
We want to talk about that too. But on this social media for the Atlanta chapter, give us a little bit of feel. Speak to that a little bit, if you will.
So actually, to play off of what Adam said earlier, we really focus, as far as our strategy for our chapter, we focus on those big four that he mentioned, and that's the LinkedIn, the Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And so what we do, everything that we do ties those four in together. Now, our home base would be LinkedIn, because that's where all of our members, I mean, most of the interaction that we have with them is during the day when they're at work. And so, you know, most companies probably wouldn't feel real comfortable with their folks being on Facebook during the day, but we are able to reach out and connect to a lot of our members through LinkedIn, and we have a fantastic LinkedIn group where we have people from all over. You know, I think we have over 900 members right now in our LinkedIn group. So,
Wow. Yeah,
we have a pretty big audience. But I think that most of our strategy has been centered around taking everything from LinkedIn and tying it into those other areas. So, like Adam mentioned earlier, different types of social media are good for different things. So, at our meetings, for example, we'll make sure that we're getting videos of the members and new members and, you know, clips of the speakers, so that way we can interact with our folks on YouTube. And we're pushing that out because all these connect together, so we can upload a video to YouTube and shoot it out to our Facebook page and on Twitter. Twitter is also a huge piece of social media for the chapter, because at the meetings, we can have tweet chats. And for everybody listening, it's hashtag ASTDATL. We have these tweet chats going on, so we have what's called a back channel. We have this whole, you know, conversation that's going on about whatever, you know, whatever's going on with the speaker, so people that can attend, you know, maybe traveling or whatever at the time, they can still follow and engage in those conversations. So we have a lot of engagement on Twitter, a lot of engagement on LinkedIn. Facebook is actually relatively new to the chapter. We've only had a page for maybe 2 years now, and our Facebook page has been growing a lot more recently. Now that people know that Facebook, you know, it doesn't make us friends. We're not going to be able to see your pictures or your family. So that they can engage with us a little bit more there. So that's really the strategy that we've taken, is being able to not overwhelm ourselves, you know, but make sure that everything that we do ties together and has a purpose.
Now, you mentioned that LinkedIn is your home base. Can you talk about, like, from a tactical standpoint, how you utilize that as home base? Like, what tools within LinkedIn are you using?
So the group is huge. We use that for discussions about maybe topics that are going on in the industry right now. We'll use it for contests, which has been fantastic.
And this is just only internal to the group members?
Actually, no. We do have it's a group that you have to request to join,
uh-huh.
But we do allow pretty much anybody in there.
Right.
Now, we'll kick folks out if they come in and just start advertising.
Right, and trying to sell
too
overtly.
And there really is a mechanism for kicking people out?
Oh, absolutely.
That's cool. It never occurred to me. I mean, it makes sense. That's great.
Now, you can utilize, I would imagine, now you kind of have a captive audience of people who are interested in ASTD and are in the learning space. Do you use it for, like, polling them and asking them, like, hey, we're having a conference, what speakers would you like to see? Or, like, you can utilize this group for lots of different purposes, right?
Yes, and the fantastic part about LinkedIn is that you can reach out to folks that are in the same industry as you, reach out to folks that do the same things that you do. And so if you have a question or you're not sure about how to go about doing something, you know, you can reach out to that LinkedIn group and you can, you know, really poll 900 people that do the same thing that you do every day and ask them, you know, what would you suggest, you know, with this problem that I'm having?
Oh, like, so within their company, like, say they're having an issue within their own business or company, and they're like, hey, I'm having trouble with this. Do you have any suggestions? And all of a sudden you have, you know, 900 experts kind of sharing their opinion.
Exactly. And we actually had a discussion going on recently about a learning technology and a problem that somebody was having in implementing that technology. And immediately he starts to get feedback and people that have successfully implemented that technology and can help him with that.
Right.
And you're not paying a consultant to do it. It's free advice.
Right.
So.
And you're getting it from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
It's not like a salesy thing. This is like actual users of this.
Right. Someone who's made it work.
I could see that would also help you in a buying decision. If you're choosing amongst a couple different vendors of a certain thing, you can poll the people and kind of get some real feedback.
Yes, and the companies, I'm sure, don't like that sometimes. But, you know, have you been successful with XYZ company?
Right.
Yeah, we love them, or you better stay away from them, right. Or you better ask these questions before you pull them on board. So
you've seen that kind of conversation happen?
Oh, yes, all the time. And that's the great thing about social media, is that you're getting real information. You're not getting information, you know, from somebody who's out there just, you know, pumping you.
Right.
That's why that's been so successful.
Right. There's no more spin. You're getting it from real users and their
exactly.
real experiences.
Right. And I think that, you know, that goes into Twitter as well. You know, with LinkedIn and Twitter work really closely together. When you have something that that you're faced with, you can jump out on Twitter. You can use those hashtags, those search
right.
know, keys, and you can find out what other people are experiencing with that same type of thing.
Now, does it require a group? Does that require somebody to be actively moderating that? Or is it something that kind of works by itself?
Well, that's my job, and I do moderate it. I'm on social media all the time, so it was a perfect fit for me in the chapter. But, I mean, yeah, you have to moderate it. But, I mean, I don't spend, again, you know, I have a day job. So I don't spend all my time on social media, but I do get out there. It's kind of like a habit now, you know.
Right.
I pick up my smartphone and I hit LinkedIn or I hit Twitter. And
But what
and
are
I
you
follow
doing? Like, what does that mean? I'm on it. Like, what are you doing on LinkedIn to kind of keep the group engaged?
I'm doing the same thing, actually, that everybody else is doing. So I'm out there asking questions. I might be interacting with folks, asking questions that I have, maybe a problem that I have going on, answering other people's
uh-huh.
questions, too, you know, because I'm a subject matter expert in that area. So, you know, just engaging just like everybody else is.
But like on a daily basis, is every day you're answering or interacting half a dozen times a day on LinkedIn with this group? Or
no,
one time or none? Or
some days I don't even get on there. I mean, it depends on what my needs are, too,
right.
you know, because social media, it runs itself. I mean, you don't have to be in there, you know, interacting all the time. You've got 900 people to do
right.
that. I just get in every once in a while and make sure I don't need to kick anybody out, you know, answer a question and get on as you like. But it's not as time intensive as you would think it would be. If you have that strategy set up and you have that time you want to dedicate to it, it could be 10 minutes a day. It could be 30 minutes a day. I mean, how much fun are you having? And
right.
how long you want to stay on?
So it's not like you owe a response to an email or a voicemail. One guy explained it to me, and the analogy worked for me. It's like stepping into a river when you want, and you can step back out. But at first, I was so overwhelmed because I got, all these people are saying mm-hmm. stuff. What am I supposed to do? Do I owe them an answer or what have you? So that was very, very helpful to me. For the one or two listeners who may not know, could you give us a quick primer on mission and purpose of ASTD?
Absolutely. So yeah. The mission of ASTD is really to connect all of the learning leaders and anybody that's in the learning field, you know, learning and development field in the area. And for our chapter, really, it's in the state of Georgia. But, you know, for the national ASTD, it would be anybody in the country. And it's anybody that's in this learning field where we can connect them together, you know, connect them. So networking is a big piece of our goal. And then also to be able to help us to continue to engage. And I know that there was a show not too long ago about our mission for this year, but it's to align people with, you know, what the mission is in their company. So how can you help align with the company if you're in this profession? And also connecting those learning individuals together, and then also engaging those folks. And so really what we're trying to do as a chapter is just give people the opportunity to network with people that do the same thing that they do every day and give them opportunities to learn and continue to grow. I mean, things like this, for example, you know, how
right.
can folks in the chapter learn more about social media and how that would benefit them and their business?
And you clearly found that alignment with your day job, as you characterize it. Tell us a little
yes.
bit about that.
And so ASTD actually was a huge part of my business. So when I started with the chapter a couple years ago, I did a lot of volunteer work with professional development, and all of the connections that I've made through ASTD has led me to where I'm sitting right now.
Wow.
I actually found out about some contract work building e-learning on Twitter. And so I actually talked to the individual who had put the information out there. I talked to him about it, and, you know, we connected. We knew each other through the chapter. And I ended up quitting my full-time job that I'd been at a long time with a company I really love and going into business for myself. And I started out with some of this contract work, and then it led to more contract work through other people that I know in the chapter. And every single time that I've gotten a new contract or gotten a new, you know, bucket of work, it's always been through Twitter, which is really strange.
That's
but
great.
I mean, that really is, social media plays and the entire, you know, that is my way to find. I don't go on to, you know,
you don't go to monster.com.
no
resumes there.
No, because you won't find any jobs for social media out there. You won't find any jobs out there for, you know, I need somebody to build some e-learning or some mobile learning. I find all that through your personal relationships. So everything that I do right now has actually been from being part of the chapter.
So mobile learning, speak to that a little bit, if you will, because Lee and I have talked about it. Lee doesn't know anything about it.
But I have learned while driving. Stone's taught me some things while I've been driving.
But no, we feel like there may be some application to implement some mobile stuff for our business, and there's got to be a great deal of application in the learning space, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Mobile learning is everything. I mean, mobile learning right now, if somebody were listening and streaming this through their phone or their iPad, then they're learning something about social media right now. Mobile learning is anything that you are learning when you're on the go. And it could be in a company. It could be something that brings the technology to you. So instead of going to a computer or going to a classroom, it's where I am. So we're learning through social media every day and we don't even realize it. So a lot of what I do with mobile learning is not to take a bunch of e-learning courses, because I do a lot of electronic learning, you know, computer courses. It's not to take that and stick it on a mobile phone. That's not mobile learning. Mobile learning is really what, you know, what we're doing in the schools today, for example, perfect example. You've got kids that have smartphones that Google everything if they need an answer to something.
Right.
Then they get to school and they have to shut their phone off. So you've just shut down their most reliable source of information and told them, okay, now I need you to learn it from this book that actually was published 5 years ago and is probably no longer relevant.
It's out of date, right?
And so a lot of what I'm doing with my company and the direction of my company is to make those types of things available to people where it is updated all the time, where it's always relevant, you know, and a lot of it is not creating new information. It's just streaming information that's already out there somewhere to a device or to wherever you are. And so mobile learning is going to be huge just because people are already doing it. They don't even realize it's just not formal.
Now, what's the penetration of smartphones? Or does everyone, everybody in this room probably has one, but in the general population, does everyone have one?
Not necessarily, but I bought both of my kids a tablet for $80 at Walmart the other day. So, I mean, you could buy, I was actually talking to our president of the chapter not too long ago, who's recently gone into business for himself. And, you know, you can buy tablets for less than $100 now. So what would prevent you from taking all that documentation you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to print out in your courses and stick it on a tablet? Well, I mean, it could cost you $80, and then you can always keep it updated by just changing a, you know, an HTML site.
You never have to print again.
That's exactly right. And it's cheaper. I mean, somebody loses an $80 tablet or a $100 tablet for that matter, or a $400, $500 iPad. Well, that's still cheaper than what you've printed these manuals that don't even, they can't even use them anymore.
Right.
So is e-learning becoming richer and richer? And the reason I'm asking that question is it occurs to me that beyond just text under glass, as I heard one person characterize it not too long ago, now you can do video, audio, you can link out to a bunch of stuff. It's a much richer medium, right?
Oh, absolutely. It depends on what you know, who you have developing it. Because if you know what the purpose is, first of all, you know, having it just to have it, there's no purpose in that. But a good example that I heard yesterday, which kind of made me think, is, you know, a lot of folks are using the scenario-based e-learning for even recruiting now, you know.
That's a great idea.
Right. Rather than coming in and having, you know, pulling people in to interview them, we'll just put them through a scenario and you want to see if they're able, you know, how they react to that. So e-learning is a very powerful tool, mainly because, you know, with the audio and video, the tools are so powerful now and so inexpensive. You don't have to have a studio to record audio. You can record your video on a flip cam.
Don't tell
anybody. We'll edit that part out.
But I mean, you can use a flip cam and put some video in your course, and it doesn't cost anything. So, you know, relatively speaking, and it's so much more powerful because if I, for example, have an auto shop and I want to teach them how to install a new tire or a new battery in this, you know, smart car or whatever, then I can actually do a couple of video clips or something, you know, and do like a series of little modules, and they can watch it on their phone or, you know, on a tablet or at their computer, wherever, and they can see somebody actually go through that process rather than reading a manual and trying to visualize, you know, how that would actually play out. So,
yeah, good stuff. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about your own practice, where would they go?
So you can reach out to me through Twitter, which is my handles at SARAHCOLETTEM, as in Marshmallow. And my website is melearningsolutions.com, and that's for mobile and e-learning solutions.
And if they wanted to engage with ASTD, if they want to learn more, is there a website for them?
Absolutely. It's astdatlanta.org.
And you can find them on, you said, the big four, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn,
yes, and
YouTube.
We would love for you to follow us on Twitter and reach out to our YouTube channel and LinkedIn group and everything. So we would love to engage with you guys there.
All right. Well, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and the rest of the ASTD gang. We will see you all next time.